The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home on 101.5 Word FM. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for coming along today for the Friday edition of The Ride Home. The sun is shining, but it belies a very cold exterior. Hope you're staying warm today, Kath. How are you today?
It's such a beautiful day in Pittsburgh. Listen, I know we're freezing, but it's so much easier to freeze when it's so beautiful out.
I mean, I guess that there is the silver lining.
This is probably why people move to Denver.
Right.
Or Colorado Springs.
Now, I was looking at the advanced forecast. I think next week it's going to go below zero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Looks wretched.
That's all right.
Look, Mike's so excited. You know what Mike wants to do?
What's that?
Build an igloo.
Oh, my gosh. He needs a lot more snow.
Was it an igloo or was it a fort? What were you building?
Snow fort.
A snow fort, but I have a new project.
Uh-oh.
I'm currently building in my backyard. It's an ice rink.
Oh, oh. Yeah.
Are you building it on purpose, or is it just something accidentally that's forming?
Oh, no, I'm building it on purpose.
No, wait, Mike, I've been to your house. Your backyard's big enough for an ice rink?
You've been to Mike's house?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's in the backyard, I mean, it's not going to be a massive Olympic-size ice rink.
Enough room to move around.
Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah. Now, you've got a boy who's a little under 2 years old. Is he on
under
skates?
Under 3 years old.
Under three, sorry.
He doesn't have skates yet, okay. But he will as soon as I'm done fitting.
I mean,
this.
I know how old his kid is, but he never invited me to his house.
I just showed up one time uninvited.
He did.
I did.
Oh, all right. That's different.
That's all. No big
all right.
deal.
Hey, so is it too early to tell you?
Tell me what?
Your weekend has begun.
Hey.
That's nice.
6 minutes past the 4 o'clock hour. Truly, all is right and well in this corner of the world. Happy Friday to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you yourself.
You were thinking about robots earlier today, John.
Yeah. Okay. When we took this Christmas road trip, we drove from Pittsburgh to Aberdeen, South Dakota. You know,
which is how many miles?
Round trip about 2,700 miles. So in the mix of,
at least you took it in nice weather.
Yeah, in the mix of our driving, once in a while, I think twice we did this. Once on the way out, once on the way back, we stopped at a Mickey D's.
Hmm.
Do you know? Both times, no one waited on us.
What do you mean nobody? Well, it's not a. I mean, it's not like you're. Were you expecting a waitress?
No, I was expecting to walk up to the counter, say, "Give me some fries and a cheeseburger."
But that's not. What do you mean that didn't happen?
No, there was a kiosk, and you stood at the
kiosk.
There
were no people at McDonald's at the counter.
No
customer service.
No customers. No.
What?
We stood at the kiosk, which my kids loved, and made our selections because then you know it's a custom menu order, right? They did a Big Mac without onions or something like that. And then,
I think there's a purpose to that.
To the four of us, we went through the process, my two kids, my wife and I. We, it's just like going to the self-checkout at Giant Eagle.
Or Sheetz.
Yeah, same thing. And then at the end, they called out our number. Somebody put a paper bag on the counter.
That's atrocious.
And walked away.
I despise that. I hate that.
I liked it.
No. You liked it?
Yeah, that's fine.
What is wrong with you? Why would you like that?
It was quick. It was efficient. No fuss, no muss. I didn't have to worry about anything. I do that all
Seriously,
the time at Giant Eagle.
30 years from now, you're going to be a hermit living at the edge of some dirt road, and Mike and I are going to have to come bring you food.
I thought he's already doing that.
30 years from now, I'll be 91 years old. I'll be dead.
No, you...
Just saying. So I can have it your way, John.
Honestly, why is that a good thing?
I think it's good. I don't
no,
mind.
No, it's a complete abdication of our responsibility human to human.
No, there's no responsibility. The responsibility
there is a responsibility.
To use the technology as it's been created, and it's going to be for the common good for us to flourish.
How is that possibly for the common good so we can flourish?
Well, the company will make more money. the more profits will spread out over, you know, the economic platform of the United States of America.
Well, we have an epidemic of loneliness because there's not a single other human person that you can talk to. Wait, because you have to press a button instead.
So do you think me ordering some fries would have helped the person's day?
I think it's a sign of the apocalypse.
I don't think it is. Look, it's a freight train that's coming. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, the...
What, so we're just going to stand there and let it run
pretty
us
much
over?
So,
absolutely
Cap.
Not. Look, no, I would... Listen, if I was going to a... If I had an option, Mickey D's with robo whatever and Chick-fil-A with a person saying my pleasure, I would do that 100 times out of 100.
Well, now there's something to be said about my pleasure. That's kind of hard to beat. Yeah, that personal touch, the, you know, the.
But that's why people like it there. I mean, I know people like the chicken, but I also think that there's something human to human that people like about Chick-fil-A, even if they don't like what they think are the politics of the owners.
Right. So the article that's going around today on the web, we first picked it up from Associated Press. Will robots take your job? A quarter of United States workers are at risk. A quarter, which includes fast food,
right,
grocery store, short drive truckers, mm-hmm, clerical workers, you name it. You know, the sort of those entry level, lower paying jobs. Those will be quickly taken over, whether it's in the next year or two or the next two decades. Sooner or later, they're saying, yeah, this is going to happen.
That freaks me out. That freaks me out for an entire quarter of our population. They're going to be phased out.
Well, they'll be phased out, but as always with this thing, I mean, look, when you look at you know, horse-drawn carriages and, you know, people working in horseshoes and, you know, that kind of thing, well, new jobs were created.
Right. It's always happened.
Yeah.
But to me, it seems different now because of the speed at which it's happening and because of the different aptitudes that are involved in the kind of jobs that we're looking toward having in the future and the kind of jobs we're losing. So someone who's doing short-term trucking is not going to be someone who's going to become a programmer.
Maybe they will be in a different, way.
Probably not.
Well, I mean,
so you're creating more jobs for geeks who are college educated, and you're losing all your jobs for people.
Okay,
who
well, then that's good. Then we should be pro education, right? So stay in school longer and get a more.
Yeah,
of an education.
Yeah, but what if that's? I mean, we know how many people who have been so incredibly successful and have never gone to college, and especially now with college debt, what it is? Why would you want to incur that if you're not sure if academics isn't your thing?
Yeah, but look, I mean, do you look at the people who are working the counter at McDonald's, and there's been this whole push forward to increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour.
Right, which I think is a horrible idea.
So then, I mean, people don't want to live like that. I mean, who wants to work at McDonald's for the rest of their life?
Nobody. Well,
making
wage. A job at McDonald's was never intended to be your landing job. That was intended to be your starting job.
Well, some people do that, right? For lack of education or opportunity.
Well,
they do that. When you walk into McDonald's right now, you're seeing a lot of older people working behind the counter.
Well, you were walking into McDonald's and not seeing anybody.
Yeah. And I happily paid my money and was out the door. You know, I don't have a problem. When I go to Giant Eagle and there's people, you know, at the express line, you know, the cashier or the self-serve, I have to tell you, I generally choose the self-serve.
Mm, I always go to the cashier.
I look for the shortest line.
No, I would wait longer.
Really?
Because humans.
Human interaction is,
mm-hmm,
key.
Now, Mike? That we have curbside express,
yeah, well,
I'm
look
never
at
going
that.
Again.
Exactly. But, you guys.
But it's person to person still. I mean, a person comes and brings me my groceries and I thank her or him and I look in their eyes and I give them a tip and I tell them I'm grateful that they did that for me. I do that every time.
Mm-hmm.
I always do that.
That's nice that you tip.
I do, because I am – I mean, listen, with the situation my family's in, with my dad being sick and us being in the hospital most of the time, that person is saving me. That
so
person is like such a godsend. When they walk in, I just about hug them.
Mm-hmm.
I tried that the first time and it was awkward.
Of course it was.
I had to back off.
They just wanted a couple bucks.
I don't want to scare the nice Giant Eagle people away.
Okay, so let's switch subjects here because you bring up tipping. When you are tipping – you know, generally the rule of tipping is 15% at a restaurant.
No,
you're not tipping 15%. No, no. 15% is the baseline, and then you go up. For me, this is my rule.
I always thought it was 20.
No, 15% is baseline, up or down, depending upon my quality of service.
Yeah, right.
That's where I go.
I'm not tipping.
Were you tipping 15% on your grocery bill?
No.
I don't think so.
I'm not.
So what are you doing?
Right. I mean, do I have to discuss it?
Okay,
right here?
You don't. All right, but I'm just kind of curious.
Okay. In about, so my grocery bill is usually about $100.
Yeah.
And I'm tipping $5.
Okay.
But that's very low. If you're looking at the way you'd tip at a restaurant, that is horribly low. And now that I say it out loud, now I'm feeling badly about it.
No. Because, you know, I asked this question the last time we talked about this. Is that same person who's doing the shopping also doing the delivery?
I don't know.
To me, if that's the case, then I'm going to tip
okay,
more.
Okay, well, here's the thing. You're also paying a fee for that. So you're paying, what is it, $5.95.
I heard the Curbside Express is no fee anymore.
Curbside is free. Is that right?
That's
curbside
right.
Curbside is free. Okay. Curbside is free.
Home delivery, $6.
Yes.
So again, that's not very much for someone shopping your groceries.
Not at all. But they're not getting $6. The corporation
is. Right. So now I feel like I should tip more.
Thanks
a lot, John.
Sorry.
So 2 days ago, I went to Olive Garden.
Yeah.
I had a pickup order.
Yeah.
Do you tip the person that rings you out?
No,
I don't.
No, because that person
didn't do
anything.
I always feel bad because she bags it for me.
Right.
Right.
You know?
Okay. Do you tip it? Like, so we went out for coffee today with a couple of guys from the office. The guy that I was with, he tipped, you know, the coffee person.
See, now.
Do you do that?
No. Do you tip Panera?
No.
No. But it always comes up while the person's looking at you.
Well, I hate that. That's something fairly new.
Isn't that terrible?
My guilt kicks in and I go, oh, I got to tip everybody.
I know. I'm not doing that.
Why? What?
Well, because here's the thing. I feel like
Now I got to tip Mike.
We are not happy givers here.
No.
But this is, I got to be honest, it's a Friday edition. It's going right downhill.
God loves a cheerful giver, excepting when it comes to John and Kathy and new Mike and our tipping. No, I like to tip. Believe me. I mean, I spent years working as a bartender and a waiter and, you know, defined excellent service, right? So when you get good service, you want to tip. But if it's like a guy handing me a slice of pizza across a counter, what am I tipping that guy for?
I feel like that's his job to do that.
Yeah, of course it
right?
is.
So, I mean, I'm not tipping him for his job.
Are you tipping the McDonald's person?
If you're in a restaurant and the server is bringing you food, the way their salary is lined up is it's low so that they can get tips.
Yeah, it is.
But that's not the case if someone's behind a counter.
No, I don't think so. I hope so.
Do you tip your pastors?
No.
What?
What? Tip my pastors?
Do you tip your producer?
No.
20%. You better.
20%.
All right. Coming up next. If you are a social media user, Damon Linker in The Week has posted something that'll really make you change your opinion on what you put on Twitter. That's coming up next.
WORD. Playing Pittsburgh's favorite Christian music on the weekends. With the best new music.
New
music from For King and Country, God Only Knows.
God Only Knows.
Church by Cochran and Company.
Oh, I wanna go to church.
And Pat Barrett, Build My Life. The best new music and Pittsburgh's favorites. Sponsored by Trinity Jewelers. 101.5 WORD on the weekend.
This is going to be the year. This is the year you are finally going to get more sleep. Real sleep. Deep sleep. The kind where you wake up feeling fully rested, refreshed, and ready to take on the day. Well, put your head on my pillow. This is John Hall. There's no better time than now to make my pillow your pillow. Stop tossing and turning and get the support you need in your quest for a better night's sleep. Right now, Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, is offering Word listeners his amazing 4-pack special. Order today. You'll receive 2 premium MyPillows along with 2 Go Anywhere pillows. Plus, shipping is absolutely free. Just enter the promo code WORD at MyPillow.com. Try it. And if you don't absolutely love it, return it within 60 days for a full refund. If you've resolved to get a better night's sleep, now's the perfect time to do it. Use promo code WORD at MyPillow.com and make MyPillow yours today. That's MyPillow.com. Promo code WORD.
I've been married so long, I don't even look when I cross the street anymore.
No, please.
Hi, we're Jay and Laura LaFoon, and we're bringing our ultimate date night to your community.
What is an ultimate date night? It's 90 minutes of nonstop laughter, music, and fun. It's a great night for you to reconnect with your spouse. It's a night for all couples to connect through entertainment, all the while learning some biblical truth about marriage.
We've been helping couples celebrate the gift of marriage for over 20 years, and we can't wait to bring our comedic look at marriage to your community.
So get out of that date night rut. You know, that dinner and a movie over and over again. Or maybe you haven't even been on a date in a long time. Join us at the Ultimate Date Night and get ready to laugh.
And get ready to connect.
Grab your spouse by the hand and join us at the Ultimate Date Night.
Word FM presents the Ultimate Date Night with Jay and Laura LaFoon, Friday, February 1st at Christchurch at Grove Farm. Tickets just $48 a pair. Reserve now at wordfm.com/date night.
Hi, I'm Mike Ditcher. On the field, they called me Iron Mike. But some days, even Iron Mike can feel a little rusty. So I turned to Blue Emu. Blue Emu's non-greasy, deep-penetrating formula gets down deep for big-time comfort. And more importantly, it doesn't leave me smelling like a locker room. Now, if you excuse me, I have some yelling to do. You hit like old men! Blue Emu. It works fast and you won't stink.
Boy, things are complicated when it comes to the way we gather information. I don't just mean news. I think, you know, you and I, John, are interested in news, but we're also interested in what the larger cultural conversations are so that we can kind of, you know, track how people are thinking, how they're communicating, and the kinds of things that are important.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you decide to gather your news for the day,
mm-hmm.
or your, you know, just information about what, how do you do that?
Funny you bring this up, because today, for the first time, I couldn't tell you the last time I did this, I bought a Post-Gazette.
Really?
Yeah. I bought a Post-Gazette here at the Giant Eagle, and boy, did I enjoy it. I really, really enjoyed it. I sat like I used to. I still, like most people, I read a newspaper every day, oftentimes multiple newspapers every day forever, for decade after decade after decade. But then I lost it. I just, the habit stopped. I started to go online for my news. Now, to be honest, the Post-Gazette site, not really user-friendly.
Yeah, and if anyone's listening to the Post-Gazette, I have tried twice to actually purchase a subscription, and no one will call me back.
So today I walked into Giant Eagle and saw, and I thought, I'm going to get that. And you know what? How I gathered news and how I enjoyed that, I just loved it so much.
Okay, so contrast that experience that you had reading the Post-Gazette mm-hmm. to being on Twitter.
Twitter. Boy, I wonder what percentage of our audience are Twitter users, because I find that people who use Twitter.
It's a lot of people like us who use Twitter.
Yeah. Right.
A lot of journalists use Twitter. People in broadcast use Twitter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That sort of thing.
Yeah. I wonder how many, you know, sort of people who are not involved in that profession or business are on Twitter on a mm-hmm. regular basis.
Okay, so what's the difference between getting your experience this morning with holding the paper version of a Post-Gazette versus a regular morning where you're on Twitter?
Right. I like Twitter. I like Twitter because, to me, it feels as though it's a lot of smart, engaged people who have strong opinions and then oftentimes provide a link to what they're talking about so I can dive deeper into the conversation that they've started. However, then once a statement is made on Twitter, where it breaks down for me is the angry vitriol,
right.
The sort of back and forth. People essentially, you know, sort of, I mean, it gets profane and ugly pretty darn fast on Twitter, which is when I'll just back off and we'll move on someplace else. So my Twitter dive is not super deep, although I'm there throughout the day, more often than not. I like it, but I hold it mm-hmm. at arm's length.
That's smart.
You?
I'm on Twitter every single day. I'm always consistently a part of Twitter. Except in the last 5 days, and I've shared this with our listening audience, and I've shared this with you personally, it's starting to worry me. Twitter's really starting to worry me. And I read an article by Damon Linker. I want to thank Rebecca Weimer for sending it to me. In the week. And this is, he talked about the BuzzFeed article that came out last Thursday, which alleged that President Trump had suborned the perjury of his lawyer, Michael Cohen. You remember that story?
Oh, yeah, sure.
And the way that it was put out was, if this actually is proven to be true, then what will it mean for the president?
Oh.
So it was printed without any indication that it was true. It was just an idea that, okay, well, what if it is true? And then all of a sudden it turns into this gigantic issue on Twitter.
Right.
And then Robert Mueller himself, the special counsel, his office has to come out and say, wait a minute, that's not true. We never said that.
Right.
Okay. Okay. So that was a completely ridiculous storm that was based on zero facts.
Or was it ever?
Okay.
It was a storm too.
Then Saturday morning comes the whole thing with the Covington Catholic white kids from Kentucky and the Native American guy on the drum and the black Hebrew Israelites and all of that, right? Which, you know, everyone hated the kid because he was a punk and he was smirking and wore the Make America Great Again hat.
Right.
Right. Until we all sat. Perhaps not all of us, but the three of us sat and watched a ton of video and realized it wasn't at all like it seemed on Saturday morning. But that was post-mob.
Right.
Because the mob had already descended on that poor kid, his family, the Catholic high school, the diocese, the whole thing. The diocese was piling on the kid.
As it went
his
forward.
His own diocese was piling on the kid.
Right.
Okay? Before any could step back and say, wait a minute. Okay. What's this about?
Yeah.
Okay. Damon Linker in The Week, he says this: extreme partisan polarization is combining with the tech of social media, especially Twitter, to provoke a form of recurrent political madness, particularly among members of the country's cultural and intellectual elite.
Yeah.
And that madness, which we saw Thursday and that we saw Saturday and we've talked about on the show this week, is pushing the country toward what he calls a dangerously illiberal form of politics.
Whoa. Okay, now I love this too. Same article. What Twitter shows us in real time is the real-time ultrasound of the souls of America's cultural and intellectual elite.
Okay, the souls of our elite. Twitter is revealing to us what the souls of our cultural elite really look like.
Right. The people in charge of disseminating knowledge and who take the lead in organizing political action in our society. The picture it reveals is often ugly, vulgar, shrill, and intolerant, with souls exhibiting an incapacity to deliberate weigh evidence and judge judiciously. They display an impulsiveness and unhinged rage at political enemies that is incompatible with reasoned thinking about how we might go about governing ourselves, heal the division in our country, and avoid a collapse into civic violence that could usher in tyranny.
What do you think? I mean,
that's spot on.
That is.
I mean, but we've talked about the idea of a culture. We are truly, in many ways, in the deep bowels of a cultural civil war. There's no doubt about that. The left and the right, they are firing cannons of vitriol and propaganda in many instances.
And often that vitriol and propaganda is truly propaganda. It's not based on actual fact,
right,
which is why the whole thing is descending into absurdity.
Exactly.
I mean, that people piling on that kid from that Catholic school is one of the most absurd and disturbing things I've seen.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, what in the world? He also says this in the article. Too little attention has been paid to what may be the most potent facet of the social media platform, its ability to feed the vanity of its users. Mm-hmm. Twitter puts every tweeter on a massive stage with the nastiest put-downs, insults, and provocations, often receiving the most applause. That's a huge psychological incentive to escalate the denunciation of political enemies. The more one expresses outrage at the evil of others, the more one gets to enjoy the adulation of the virtual mob.
Ouch.
How often have we seen that?
Time and time again, especially this week, right? So, but I wonder about this. As I pull away, because it's like anything, it's sort of like feeding at the fire hydrant. There's so much there, and it becomes so overwhelming that eventually I need to shut it off. And when I'm tempted to go on there, I'll go, no, I don't need that. I really don't need that. So I wonder, for most people, what percentage of people are feeding on Twitter on a regular basis, right? It's, you know, the article's talking about a cultural elite. Not
right, written, but talking about journalists, broadcasters, writers.
Right. Influencers.
Influencers, commenters. So all of those people are for sure always 100% Twitter users, because you can't really have that job if you're – you can't have our job if you're not willing to enter into Twitter, right?
And at its best – it's fabulous.
For information gathering, really great, except that's why I started to worry this weekend, because the information I was getting was not actual information.
No. And when the truth, or at least the truth that was disseminated at the moment, was revealed, those who had made those spurious charges never came back and said, yeah, let me self-correct that.
The Washington Post, which is a denizen of, you know, newspaper journalism historically in our country. They came out and reported that story incorrectly about the whole thing about the Catholic school kid and the Indian and the black Hebrew Israelites. Then when they started reporting it over the weekend, this is what really bothered me. Instead of saying, wow, sorry, mea culpa, we got this wrong. Now that we have more information, here's what actually happened. They started reporting this way. They started saying, well, something interesting's happening. Now there's another conversation about perhaps another video and blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So there was no acknowledgement that they're the ones that put the wrong story out.
Right. Yeah. They became third person.
Right. All of a sudden, they're just, you know, pulling back and just observing this cultural milieu like they didn't have any stake in causing all the whole thing to happen.
Exactly. So take some journalistic responsibility. Now, you know, whenever the whole PA grand jury Catholic sex abuse report came out this past August, Twitter was fabulous because so many people who were not engaged with Twitter. I mean, a lot of Catholic priests here locally and across the country jumped on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And man, you got such great insight.
And I still do.
Yeah.
You still get that Catholic section at the bottom of your Twitter.
Love it.
I think it's really good for me to read that.
So for anybody,
see what people are saying.
If whatever your sort of, you know, nugget that you're, you know, that you're passionate about, you can find that space. I mean, yesterday we had a guy, Esau McCauley, on our show, who talked about Black Twitter, and the conversation goes forward amongst African Americans, which we as white Americans, we know nothing about. And so you can find these threads of information that are so valuable that you wouldn't find, you know, in the Post-Gazette or the New York Times or wherever your news source is, because it goes right to the source. But it can also be a double-edged sword, and that it's used against it and disseminates horrific, ugly vitriol like the Washington Post. And then there's no self-correcting or editing like major news organizations used to do on a daily basis.
And as much as we have eschewed from the very beginning fake news, I'm starting to buy into it.
Oh, I am 100% on board with fake news. Believe me, the president has been roundly mocked for the hashtag fake news. But there is no doubt it exists in spades in this country. There's no doubt about it.
Last point. More and more, this is David Linker, the venom has been bleeding into the real world.
Yeah.
And this is where my concern comes in. With boycotts, with firings, with death threats, and groveling apologies offered only to placate mobs that are wielding digital pitchforks. It increasingly feels like it's just a matter of time before real-world violence breaks out in response to an online conflagration.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So, as believers,
how do we do we just leave it?
No. I think there's a great space for committed believers on Twitter. A great space. I mean, you can reveal your heart on Twitter. I mean, you know, what's interesting is the people who, you know, like
Drew Dick.
No. Kevin Hart.
Oh.
When he
one of the people who was trying to placate the digital mob, like Damon Linker's talking about.
So then you go back, the mob will go back and look at your thread. If you are a committed believer, and if you are walking in the light of Christ and showing that on your Twitter feed, I mean, as people want to go back and look at you and discover you and they see that, they go, oh, I see something there that's not of this world.
I brought up Drew Dick because he's someone he's a regular guest on our show, someone we really enjoy on Twitter, right? So he's someone that's doing it
we
the right way.
We
love, I mean, there's a lot of people. I love Karen Swallow Pryor on Twitter. I love John Podhoretz on Twitter.
Yeah.
I love Ben Shapiro on Twitter for different reasons, each one of those people. However, isn't it concerning that there are just a small number that we really like? And the vast majority of what I saw between Saturday and Sunday night was just
the
ugly.
Mob.
It was just ugly.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I don't despair. I don't despair because there are many wonderful people out there still with great hearts, and the truth will always find its way. So if you go on Twitter, let the buyer beware. But if you're so inclined, speak the truth in love. It'll find its path.
Baby, it's cold outside. Baby, it's cold outside. Brr, isn't it chilly? Hi, it's me, Marcia, from the Springhouse, snuggling up to a nice warm bowl of homemade soup. Winter on our farm means my brother Sam and his guys are trying to stay warm as they feed all the groups of cows, calves, and heifers out in the elements, milk the 100-cow herd twice a day, and handle all that comes with a working dairy farm, no matter what the weather is. Winter at the Springhouse store means a little slower pace, so it's a great time for our cooks to try out new main dishes, new sides, and new soup recipes like the one I'm enjoying, vegetarian chili. The bakers are even getting in on the act and trying new desserts too, like chocolate cherry cordial. Stop by for lunch or supper and see what new creations they've come up with today. Good old-fashioned cooking featuring all natural, farm-fresh ingredients and lots of TLC. The Springhouse in 84 PA, 724-228-3339 or springhousemarket.com.
Proverbs 17:22 tells us that laughter doeth like good medicine.
It's true. Science has discovered that when a person laughs, their body actually releases endorphins into the bloodstream. These tiny hormones actually increase the body's ability to heal.
So here's a question. When was the last time you had a good laugh with your spouse? I mean a really good belly laugh.
Hi, we're Jay and Laura LaFoon, and we'd like to invite you to our ultimate date night, where you'll spend 90 minutes with your spouse laughing like you haven't laughed in years.
Since 1996, we've been traveling the country using our unique style of marriage edutainment to seamlessly combine humor and biblical truth.
So join us and have a great laugh with your spouse.
Word FM presents The Ultimate Date Night with Jay and Laura LaFoon, Friday, February 1st at Christ Church at Grove Farm. Tickets just $48 a pair. Special VIP package including dinner also available. Reserve now at wordfm.com/date night.
Hi, this is Tunch Ilkin for my friends at Calusi Chevrolet. 2019 is going to be a really big year at Calusi, not only because they've been in business for over 100 years, but because they are launching the all-new, totally redesigned Chevy Silverado truck. And while supplies last, you can save over $11,200 on select 2018 Silverado pickups when you finance with GM Financial and qualify with a current GM lease. Check out this deal and others like it at Calusi.com. Chevrolet. Find new roads.
JustPayHalfPittsburgh.com is the best place to find half-off deals for restaurants, events, and more. Right now, text JPH Radio to 21777 and receive an additional 20% off your first purchase. That's JPH Radio to 21777. Text and data rates may apply.
Get your truly free credit scores and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma today. Download the Credit Karma app now. Credit Karma. Here's to progress.
Increase of cloudiness tonight. It will be cold with a flurry or two toward dawn, a low down to 14. As we get through the day tomorrow, cloudy, cold, a bit of snow or flurries around with little or no accumulation expected, a high of 27. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, some flurries around, maybe a bit of light snow late, a low down to 23. And some of that snow continues into Sunday, accumulating a coating to an inch, high Sunday, 32. Now, back here with the meteorologist Brian Thompson on 101.5 Word FM.
So whether you're going to the grocery store
or not, like you,
right, or having your groceries delivered from the very kind people at Giant Eagle, whatever you're doing, some of us are concerned about like trying to eat the healthiest thing, but not really the healthiest thing. I just want to eat a healthy thing. It doesn't have to be the healthiest thing.
Consistently.
But I don't want to eat like, you know, ho-hos. Actually, I do want to eat ho-hos, but I'm not eating ho-hos. Anyway, yeah. NPR published a piece on why it's difficult, even if you want to get healthy things at the store, to actually get healthy things at the store.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A report found 95% of shoppers at least sometimes seek healthy options when grocery shopping, and yet only a quarter of them say it's easy to determine which products actually are good for them.
What?
Like,
come
for example,
now
listen to this. For example, Shoppers are heading into the supermarket with advice from fitness professionals, nutrition bloggers, science studies, and social media ringing in their ears. Okay, right?
That's a lot.
This kind of sea of information causes conflict and doubt. A survey last year by the IFIC, not that I'm sure what that is, but it sounds like it's a very important organization, found that 59% of the respondents were somewhat or strongly confused by conflicting health advice. Now, this is great. This is my favorite part. Marketing claims can also add to the confusion, says Joanne Carson, a professor of clinical nutrition, University of Texas Southwestern. She points to a banana she saw with a sticker on it. You know what the sticker said?
Hmm.
No cholesterol.
Oh, my God.
She said,
you think?
Well, bananas don't have cholesterol.
Right, right.
Right, okay. So she said people are kind of relying on
food marketers.
Food markers, when she said the food markers are there to just basically have you buy it, but it's not really telling you something that's substantive. Like,
right.
If you think that, you know, this
a banana may have cholesterol.
Right, or this banana is better because it doesn't,
yeah.
Then maybe you need a little bit more information. Then she goes on to talk about all these different labels that happen. So there's the nutrition facts panel, which she said most people use, and there's ingredients lists. But there are also stickers that say bird-friendly. There are stickers that say non-GMO project, and then there are stickers that say American Heart Association. Apparently, Walmart has its own bright green sticker that says, great for you.
Hmm.
Okay. So she said that she thinks that these are actually making things more difficult.
Of course they are.
Instead of easier. So do you do any of that when you go grocery shopping?
No, I don't. So because these stickers you talk about, that's all a lobbying effort, right? That's some guy in an office who has convinced some, you know, grocery chain, and money's going to be exchanged to put a sticker on there to what? Make
somebody buy
feel
a banana.
Good? Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me. You know, look, here's the deal. What I appreciate is, like, when you go into the grocery store, most grocery stores, as soon as you walk in, you get your cart, you walk forward, what's the first thing you're going to go into?
The produce section.
Exactly. Obviously, the healthiest place to be. Right. So if you stock up on your fruits and vegetables, then, you know, you go into your packaged stuff along the way. Chances are if you're heavy on the fruits and vegetables, you're going to eat healthier.
Right. So, you know, like they say, eat at the periphery of the grocery store, not in the middle.
That's exactly it.
Because your Oreos and saltines are not going to bring you to, like, you know, shocking health.
They are not. You know, my cheese curls, much as I love them, I'm not going to be Mr.
Me?
Healthy there.
Absolutely love it.
So speaking of the grocery stores, how about this? Heinz Foods, which is now apparently called Kraft Heinz.
If you were going to combine companies, wouldn't you want to call it Heinz Kraft? Because it just sounds better.
It sure
does. Kraft Heinz sound awkward?
Yeah, I would imagine that Kraft is the larger player of the two for some reason. However, just in time for Valentine's Day, the people at Kraft Heinz have taken up sort of the esoteric, you know, something fun, exciting to do. So this time, Kraft Heinz has created a very limited, and very limited, I mean, 150 bottles of caviar. However,
caviar.
It looks like caviar in a little bottle. You ever see a caviar in a bottle? A little small.
I have
like
seen it.
Cold cream, you know, that kind of size of a bottle.
Probably the caviar producers don't want you to link the two.
But. No, but, you know, that's sort of a size.
Right.
And it's clear, and you can see the little round fish eggs. Now, Kraft Heinz has produced 150 bottles of caviar-looking ketchup. It essentially is ketchup in little round globs that look like caviar. Tastes like ketchup. It's not for sale, but it's for Valentine's Day. You can go online and register to win. The cutoff is Monday, and 150 people nationwide, apparently chosen at random, will receive their own bottle of Heinz ketchup caviar. You see the bottle there at the bottom.
I'm looking at it.
Heinz ketchup caviar.
It's a glass container, as you would imagine, mm-hmm. that looks like it has caviar in it, but it says Heinz ketchup caviar.
Right.
Okay, when I see that label, and you know that I'm loyal to the Heinz company because
of course you are.
My parents met there, so if it wasn't for Heinz, I wouldn't be. It should be caviar that's flavored with ketchup.
I would not want to eat that.
Well, I wouldn't either, but do you want to just eat that? I think that's weird. And I'm not sure why that's an important thing for Valentine's Day.
I don't know. They're just trying something new.
Okay.
Just so people like you and I will talk about it. Heinz ketchup caviar, just in time for Valentine's
Day. Don't get that for me.
Okay.
101.5 WORD.
Everywhere you go, anywhere you go, Word FM goes with you.
That's because we're no longer trapped inside a radio.
We're now everywhere you are, and you carry us around in your pocket.
We're ubiquitous.
There's an app for that, right?
On TuneIn, on iHeart, on our own app, on WordFM.com, on ChristianRadio.com, on the next radio FM chip.
The iPhone.
On your iPad, iPhone, and Android. We're always with you because we're inside your pocket.
Whatever you do, don't lose us.
101.5 WORD.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-2013. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-2013. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-444-2013. 800-444-2013.
Come on, kids. We're late.
Honey, the car won't start.
Mom, the dog just sat on my science project.
Life can be stressful, but getting life insurance shouldn't be. That's why there's Ethos. Ethos is a modern kind of life insurance that's super fast, incredibly affordable, and very uncomplicated. At GetEthos.com, there are no medical exams for policies covering under $1 million, no hours of paperwork or meetings with pushy representatives. It only takes 10 minutes to apply, and you can rest assured knowing you've taken steps to protect your family. And in most cases, with Ethos, you can have that peace of mind for less than a cup of coffee a day, with no hidden fees. Having life insurance can free you from stress. Getting life insurance shouldn't cause it. Discover how uncomplicated life insurance can be at Ethos. Get your free instant quote and submit your complete application in minutes. Just go to GetEthos.com. That's ETHOS. GetEthos.com. GetEthos.com.
See today's best faith-based and family-friendly movies all free of charge, January 25th through 27th. Word FM welcomes the Projecting Hope Film Festival to select area theaters, presented by the Speakman Financial Group, featuring the best faith-focused films of 2018, plus exclusive pre-release screenings for 2019, like Run the Race from executive producer Tim Tebow, and the highly anticipated Easter release Breakthrough, made possible by Geneva College. Visit ProjectingHopePGH.com for times and locations. Sponsored by Calusi Chevrolet, Grace Wellness Center, and J&D Waterproofing.
Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville has everything you need to protect your car or truck all winter long. Say goodbye to winter grime with an Extreme detailing to help preserve the life and look of your vehicle. Got a new car? Protect your investment with TST Rust Remedy, the most effective rust control system you'll find anywhere. And spray-on bullet bedliners offer extreme protection tested in the most extreme conditions known to man. Call the Extreme team now at 412-257-1006 or visit extremetruck.net. 412-257-1006, extremetruck.net.
If you can't be faithful with a few, don't ask the Lord to give you many. Jennifer Oshman is with us. Jen's wife, mom, missionary, and writer, currently living in Parker, Colorado. Her writing can be found at jenoshman.com. Hey, Jennifer, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank God, I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for being with us.
I guess the temptation's always been the same, that we have a bigger audience. It's just, it seems exaggerated now because of how social media works. And so if you have, you know, so many Twitter followers, or, you know, so many people following you on Facebook or on Instagram or whatever it is, that that somehow gives you a sense of self-importance or a validation that what you're saying is correct.
You're an influencer.
Right. And so you see people who, you know, record a YouTube video in the airport. That girl who did that the other night, she had a four-hour layover, I don't know where. She recorded a video and like 28 million people watched it or something.
Holy
like
smokes.
That. I mean, the way we're conferring like legitimacy onto people is odd right now. I mean, Jen, is it weirder now than it was maybe the first time you heard a missionary say those words to you? If you can't be faithful with a few, don't ask the Lord to give you many.
I think it's definitely exaggerated in this age of social media, where we can have a global following in a moment's notice, as you've just so beautifully illustrated with that story from the airport. But I think it's a problem that's as old as time, as old as we humans are. It's part of our sin nature. We want to be great. We want to be well-known. You know, it's something the disciples were evidently arguing about in Mark chapter 9, perhaps comparing the effectiveness of their ministry with one another. They, too, wanted to be great and influential.
So 20 years ago, Jen, you and your husband got married, started an international ministry, you left the United States, and you had no idea what you were walking into, and that advice was given to you. Talk about that few as you arrived on your first stop on your missionary journey.
Yeah, it was great advice given to us by a man who was about 10 years ahead of us down the line. And he said, Mark and Jen, a mentor told me, and I'm going to tell you, if you can't be faithful with the few, don't ask the Lord to give you many. And really what he meant in saying that was, look around. Who has God brought into your presence? Who are you living amongst? Who is your neighbor? And seek to be faithful with the people that are around you.
Nice.
And so that was true for us as missionaries, and now as church planters, for me as a writer. It's something we stray from, absolutely, but we pray, and with God's grace, he brings us back. It's sort of like a compass.
And I'm sure hearing that was freeing in some way, right? Because it allowed you the trap to not fall into the trap of ego and thinking, well, you know, we're all that. So if we're all that, then there should be great crowds. So there's the disappointment that would go along with that ego. But instead, you just did your best work.
That's the beauty. I mean, Christ says, hide your life in mine in Colossians chapter 3. And so he already is great. So we don't have to be. We hide ourselves in him.
Hmm. All right. So in our, I don't know, in our temptation to want to, but have the biggest, have not even just the biggest church, but a church that is consistently growing, right? We're consistently adding people. Our numbers go up and up and up and up and up. Is that a temptation for you?
Absolutely. It's a daily temptation for me and for my husband. And I think if we're honest, it is for all of us. We do want to have influence. And I want to say that that is not wrong. It is not a sin to seek to have a great crowd or to be an influencer. And the Lord showed that to the disciples in Mark chapter 9. He didn't say, hey, guys, greatness is wrong. It's a sin that you're pursuing that. Instead, he redefined greatness for them. He said, to be great, seek to be last. Seek to serve others and seek to welcome the little children, or in other words, the marginalized, the people who aren't necessarily going to help you get ahead. That's greatness, according to our Lord.
Right. So then you and your husband, Mark, as husband and wife and parents of four kids, I mean, those four kids alone, that's a good number to be the influencer on, right? The work that you're doing there certainly is going to have great dividends somewhere down the road.
Well, our four kids are a huge blessing. We praise God for them. They're all girls, and so I count it a great joy to be raising women who know Christ, Lord willing, by his grace. And exactly, I must be faithful to them. I'm called to be faithful to my family. They are my closest neighbor. And then to look around even to my neighborhood, my state, my country, where has God placed me and asked me to be faithful, no matter the number.
So then I guess the question is, which you ask this question in your essay, which is excellent, where are you called to be great? And so for you, it started first, you and your husband together, great in your marriage, and then as you traveled into the mission field internationally, and then now with your four children, and then at your church, right? There's all those things tied together. You want to be great for the goodness of God and the kingdom.
That's the point, is to not look at perhaps a sum total or a crowd number or a Twitter following that you're really pursuing, but to simply lower your eyes and look at who the Lord has placed around you. And also, what are the gifts that he's given you? What are the skills and resources that he's imparted to you? And how is he asking you to use them with his energy for his glory, for his name's sake? Mm-hmm. So that might be me visiting my neighbor and encouraging perhaps a shut-in, or going to the hospital and visiting somebody who's sick. Or it might be me writing an article online, or it might be me going overseas. But our callings are as diverse as we are, because our God is creative.
Nice.
The question we have to ask, and ideally maybe in the setting of a community where other Christ followers know you well, is how has God gifted me and resourced me, and how can I be faithful with those things right where he has me?
Mm-hmm. Well, I really appreciate that. I mean, with all of the push towards bigger and better and increasing in number and increasing in stature and all those things, that's not what God called us to do. And constantly striving after that is absolutely, for me, it's been absolutely exhausting. So, Jen, thank you so much for speaking so well into that.
Jennifer Osham. Jennifer Osham online. Really easy to find. JENOSHMAN.com. She's a terrific writer. Find her, please.
We're Jay and Laura LaFoon, and we are bringing the ultimate date night to your community.
For more than 20 years, Jay and Laura LaFoon have been helping couples grow closer together with their unique form of marriage edutainment.
Ultimate Date Night is an evening of fun, music, comedy for couples that is going to help you reconnect. And you know what? I'm just going to tell you, you're going to sit next to your spouse and you're going to laugh a lot.
There will be hand-holding, laughing, and even dancing cheek to cheek at the Ultimate Date Night. And believe it or not, you and your spouse will feel closer together when it's done.
We want to help you connect, and the Ultimate Date Night is the perfect place to come, to laugh, to connect. We have people tell us we haven't laughed like this in years.
The Ultimate Date Night is a great reminder of how much fun you can have together.
We are looking forward to bringing the Ultimate Date Night to you.
Word FM presents the Ultimate Date Night with Jay and Laura LaFoon, February 1st at Christchurch at Grove Farm. Tickets just $48 a pair. VIP package including dinner also available at wordfm.com/date night. How does Eden Christian Academy prepare students for success? Through education that ignites the mind and inspires the spirit, from pre-K through 12th grade, through 47 state-certified full-time teachers, and opportunities in sports, the arts, and service to the community, with results like SAT scores 200 points over the national average. Schedule a tour at any of Eden's three North Hills campuses and see what the area's largest non-denominational Christian school has to offer at EdenChristianAcademy.org.
Stop by Lowe's to give your kitchen the update you've been waiting for with savings you don't want to miss during our Refresh for Less kitchen and bath event. Make a small update, like adding a stylish new faucet with up to 40% off select kitchen faucets. Then go a little further and take 20% off select in-stock tile when you buy $100 or more. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's. Faucet offer valid through 3-1. Tile offer valid through 1-30. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
Buying locally made products is a simple act that can have a tremendous impact on a local economy. Since our company was founded nearly 30 years ago, the Original Mattress Factory has offered quality mattresses that are hand-built in our own factories and sold directly to you. Plus, we're not just locally made. We are also locally owned by our employees who live, work, and play in the same communities as you. So stop by an Original Mattress Factory store or visit us at originalmattress.com to see the difference local makes for yourself. Right here in Pittsburgh.
You own a local business, and your national competition is eating your lunch. But you can beat them with our digital marketing experts. We're Salem Surround. We offer a free analysis of your digital marketing and suggest methods that could dramatically increase your sales. There are no limitations on where you can reach customers with Salem Surround. Total market penetration for increased ROI. Learn more by logging on to surroundpittsburgh.com. Surroundpittsburgh.com, connecting you with new customers.
Okay, so bookstores.
Listen, my whole life, I mean, some of my earliest memories of retail, like, and I don't mean working, I mean, like, going.
Yeah.
Was being at the Walden bookstore in Northway Mall with my dad and sitting on the floor because there were no chairs in there and thinking, how long are we going to have to be here? Because I was there all the time. Of course, when you have to find your way out of boredom, you find all sorts of things you like.
Of course.
And that's probably one of the reasons I love bookstores today.
In a bookstore. And of course, they're a dying breed. How many bookstores have closed? Now, the big chains, like, you know, the Barnes and Nobles, the Waldens.
The Borders.
Yeah, they've taken huge hits. I mean,
Borders
is totally
dead.
Gone. Barnes and Noble.
Has survived.
Is there one in McKnight Road?
No, but there's one in Cranberry.
Okay.
And there's one in Robinson. Both of which seem to be very well is attended the right word?
Yeah, there's one in Monroeville Mall.
Yeah. Barnes & Noble is a great store to go into.
Yeah.
They have suffered with a less than usable website for forever. I'm not sure why they can't pick that up.
Byron Borger, Hearts and Minds.
Wonderful bookstore.
Yeah, excellent. Very unique and, you know, certainly a super niche. But that personal service that you're going to get from Hearts and Minds is different than you're going to get from Barnes & Noble.
For sure.
However, I'm happy that any bookstore is open. Any bookstore. City Books on the South Side.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That guy's been there forever.
I love how it smells in there.
Yeah.
I really do.
The old bookstores. So apparently, there is a bookstore in Squirrel Hill. And I got to be honest. I mean, I count Squirrel Hill as one of my neighborhoods.
Me too. How could we have fallen down like this?
I do not
know. It's embarrassing.
There's also a Barnes & Noble in Homestead on the waterfront.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
There's one there.
I forgot about that. Thanks, Mike.
So a finalist has been named for the 2019 Publishers Weekly Bookstore of the Year, which includes the bookstore Classic Lines on Forbes Avenue in Squirrel Hill.
Now, listen, there are only five bookstores that are in this important and exclusive list, 2019 Publishers Weekly Bookstore of the Year shortlist, and one of them, Classic Lines, neither of us have ever stepped foot into.
Mike,
have you been in it?
Never.
Okay, great. 100%, we are wretched.
Squirrel Hill's my neighborhood.
Could we have fallen?
I don't know.
I'm disappointed in you.
It's a small bookstore, for one thing. And
makes it okay?
It's my only excuse.
What does that mean? That you tripped over it trip over it?
I don't know. I kind of walked by it and was like, what is that?
Even though it says Classic Lines Bookstore. I'm disappointed in myself. I love a book. I'm disappointed in you too, Mike, just to make it universal.
I'm disappointed in myself.
Okay, good.
I need to go pray.
I mean, you should.
Right now.
Listen, we love books, clearly. Yep. Look at our jobs. But why? We love a bookstore. Yep. We love the slowness of it. We love the quiet of it. We love the convivial nature of those who read.
To linger, right? Anyway, so congratulations to Classic Lines, one of five across the country. You know, you look at this this bookstore in Boulder, Colorado,
which
was last year's winner.
Absolutely enormous.
So beautiful.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. The finalists this year, A Likely Story in Sykesville, Maryland, Hello, Hello Books, Rockland, Maine, Literati in Ann Arbor, and Watermark Books in Wichita.
Okay, so Publishers Weekly, go for Classic Lines. As small as it is, happy to have it here in the city of Pittsburgh in Squirrel Hill.
Sharing the word that changes the world. 101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh, a service of Salem Media Group.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Trump and congressional leaders have reached a short-term deal to reopen the government for 3 weeks while border wall negotiations continue.
In remarks from the Rose Garden, the president announced an end to the 35-day partial government shutdown.
We have reached a deal to end the shutdown and reopen the federal government.
He said he will sign legislation opening the government for 3 weeks, and he promised retroactive paychecks for unpaid federal workers.
I will make sure that all employees receive their back pay very quickly.
For the next 21 days, negotiations will continue on the president's demand for border wall funding. Greg Clugston, the White House.
The Senate has now passed the legislation unanimously and has sent it to the House. On Wall Street, the Dow by 184 points, the NASDAQ rose 92, the S&P advanced 22, oil up to $53.69 a barrel. This is SRN News.
If you or a family member were abused as a child by a priest, don't sign anything. Talk to Alan Parer first. Call 412-281-1970. Don't give away your rights. Don't give away anything to the new Pittsburgh Diocese Abuse Fund, especially rights you may have in the future. Talk to attorney Alan Parer first. Call 412-281-1970. Child abuse cases against the diocese are complex. You can easily lose future rights and the help you deserve. Alan Parer is a lawyer who knows the law and has handled many of these cases and can protect you and your family. Don't be misled. If you were a victim, you have options. Call Alan Parer or Google the law firm SPK. The Diocese Abuse Fund may not be best for you. Don't lose your rights. Call Alan Parer at SPK Law, 412-281-1970. Your consultations will be free and confidential. That's 412-281-1970.
How do you celebrate faith, family, and fun? How about on eight wheels? Don't miss the next Word FM Skate Night at Neville Rollerdrome, Monday, February 4th. Kenny Woods has the audience going in circles every first Monday of the month, playing your favorite CCM hits with prizes and giveaways 6:30 to 9 p.m. You could even win a free skate night for your family. Admission is $7. Skate rental just $3 more. Details at skatenrd.com. Word FM Skate Nights at Neville Rollerdrome at skatenrd.com.
Whoa, long time no see. It's me, the Rock t-shirt in the back of your closet. Dude, remember? You crowd surfed in me, man.
But you haven't worn me in like forever.
I get it, you're retired, but I still got some rock left in me. So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
JustPayHalfPittsburgh.com is the best place to find half-off deals for restaurants, events, and more. Right now, text JPH Radio to 21777 and receive an additional 20% off your first purchase. That's JPH Radio to 21777. Text and data rates may apply.
You know, they say the best is yet to come. But to make that true for your retirement, you need a plan. We'll start by tuning in for Your Retirement Blueprint with Kurt Kanodic and Ethan Lane with Accurate Solutions Group every Saturday morning at 10. Kurt and Ethan can help simplify the retirement planning process. No technical terms or calculations, no product pushing, just the information you need for retirement. Don't miss Your Retirement Blueprint with Kurt Kanodic and Ethan Lane of Accurate Solutions Group every Saturday morning at 10 right here on 101.5 Word FM.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, driven by Calusi Chevrolet, serving the Pittsburgh area for 100 years.
Increase of cloudiness tonight. It will be cold with a flurry or two toward dawn, a low down to 14. As we get through the day tomorrow, cloudy and cold, a bit of snow or flurries around with little or no accumulation expected, a high of 27. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, some flurries around, maybe a bit of light snow late, a low down to 23. And some of that snow continues into Sunday, accumulating a coating to an inch, high Sunday 32. Now back to your weather meteorologist Brian Thompson on 101.5 Word FM.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home on 101.5 Word FM. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, good afternoon. Greetings. Welcome along for the Friday edition. Feels good, doesn't it? Kath, good to see you as well.
Gorgeous day in the city of Pittsburgh. Well, I can tolerate a lot of cold if it's sunny.
Well, you better tolerate a lot of cold because it's coming.
Listen, but the gray and the cold, that's when it's the double whammy and I just want to, you know, stay in bed.
Yeah, or stay home for the entire weekend and watch Netflix.
So this weekend is a little depressing for me because there's no football, there's no Pens, the All-Star game's tomorrow, there's a Pitt basketball game tomorrow at noon, I think it's Pitt-Louisville.
Yeah, good game.
It's tomorrow at noon. I look forward to that. But sports-wise...
pretty slim.
That's all we got.
The NHL All-Star Skills Competition is tonight.
Yeah, that's kind of
like that?
Yes, of course.
Kind of like the Home Run Derby.
Okay, I got to be honest, I've never watched it because it doesn't sound interesting.
Give it a shot.
Tell me about it.
Give it a shot, really. And, okay. You know, they do the hardest shot, the fastest skater. You know,
okay, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the Pens. I don't know. Well, I might.
I'm going to watch Kim's Convenience.
Oh, this is the show that you guys are, like, hot on the trail of.
Okay, see you.
It's a great show. It's a very, very funny show. If you've got Netflix and you don't know about Kim's Convenience, please check it out. Highly recommended. And it shows, shockingly, Christians in a very good light. It really does. Funny, funny show.
I'll probably watch another episode of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Okay. I started to watch the stand-up.
Did you?
Yeah, I did last night.
Did you laugh?
Oh, of course I did.
Is he funny?
He is very funny.
Sebastian Maniscalco is my new comedy find. Yeah. I know he's not new, but he's new to me, he's cracking me right up.
Well, I watched Radio City Music Hall.
Aren't you embarrassed?
Funny stuff.
Wait. No, he's not at Radio City.
No, the special.
The new one is.
Yeah.
Oh, so the new one, what's it called?
I don't know.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. I've seen the Aren't You Embarrassed, which is the first one, maybe 4 years ago.
What are you laughing about? Like, I don't know. It's some guy. It's some stand-up guy.
It is Sebastian Maniscalco, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah, okay. Yes, it is.
I love him. Sebastian Gorka.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely not.
At Radio City Music Hall.
Okay, is it too early?
What?
Or is it too late?
Early for what?
For me to tell you
what?
That your weekend, John, Mike, has begun.
Oh, yes. It's 6 minutes past the 5 o'clock hour on a Friday afternoon. At least in this corner of the world, truly, all is right and well.
Super duper!
It is super duper,
it really
isn't it?
Is.
Yeah.
All right, so New York Times reporter Levin told Twitter just yesterday that he was writing a piece based on the hashtag Expose Christian Schools.
Mm-hmm.
He shared his prompt just a few days after the outrage, of course, that we've talked about ad nauseum, which is the Catholic kids from Kentucky who ended up at the March for Life and were, you know, all of a sudden an altercation with the Native American veteran who was a washer repairman in the Marines and was not an infantry.
Not in a Vietnam vet.
Right. And then we had the black Hebrew Israelites, and anyway, all of that.
Spurless insults.
So Dan Levin decided he wanted to expose Christian schools. Now, Dan Levin, to be fair, said, I didn't come up with the hashtag expose Christian schools. I just saw that it was out there. And so this was his tweet. He said, I'm a New York Times reporter writing about hashtag expose Christian schools. Are you in your 20s or younger who went to a Christian school? I'd like to hear about your experience and its impact on your life. Please DM me.
Mm-hmm. So expose Christian schools already. The hashtag sounds like it's going to be a hit job.
Well, how could it not be a hit job if it's expose right. Christian schools?
So this is on the heels of the Covington kids and Karen Pence.
Right, who half of America hates because that one guy wore a red hat. And everybody hates Karen Pence because she's going to go work at a Christian school who is teaching traditional marriage.
Right. Yeah. So, okay. So if you went to a Christian school and you want to engage with the New York Times, hashtag expose Christian school on Twitter, who knows what that's going to look like?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I'm reading a Town Hall article by Courtney O'Brien, and she lists here several tweet exchanges between Dan Levin, the guy from the New York Times, and other people who are weighing in. So this woman by the name of Lauren Chen says, my Christian education was a happy experience. My teachers were committed to the well-being of their students. Just wanted to mention for the ratio. Mm-hmm. Someone named Adrian says, I'm in my 30s. Went to Christian school and deeply appreciative for the sacrifice my parents made to send me there. I got an excellent education, a deep grounding of my faith, and learned how to act and dress professionally. Christian schools are wonderful.
Very nice. Someone says, Jeremy Bell says, hashtag expose Christian schools is an incredibly bigoted hashtag. If people were tweeting this about any other religion, it would rightfully stir up a lot of outrage. I say all of this as a Jew who went to yeshiva. It's wrong.
Joseph Dayer says, I attended a Catholic high school and I'm extremely grateful for my experience. The school prepared its students of all faiths and backgrounds to succeed in education and life. We were taught to be respectful and inclusive, to truly be men for others.
Very good. All right. I mean,
now here's the good
thing.
Bring
it on, New York Times.
Here's the good thing. Levin said that he did not, as I said, create the hashtag. He was writing a report on it and was happy to hear from anyone. And if you look on his Twitter page, he has been retweeting many of the positive reports that he's received. So I hope he's a fair-minded guy.
Well, it's the Times. So it comes with its own built-in bias. And someone talks about what's already like an obituary. It's already been written, right? The facts are in place. So we'll see what that's like. I don't know.
A guy named Marty said, how about my horrible experiences in public schools?
Yeah. I mean who's immune?
Any school can be a bad school. There are tons of bad schools.
Right.
And there are tons of good schools, whether it's a Christian school, a Catholic school, a private school, or a public school.
I mean, everybody – how was your elementary school experience? Mine was great.
I love my elementary school.
I mean, you know, it's a mixed bag.
Mike, how'd you feel about your elementary school?
I loved it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Who was your favorite teacher?
My second grade teacher. Miss Catterson, whom I had a crush on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is she still around?
Of course she is.
Miss Catterson, dig you.
John, your favorite teacher in elementary school?
Sister Mary Ernest. She was my first grade teacher. She gave me a Halloween costume. It was a cow, which I later appeared as the donkey in the nativity play.
Were you in the same costume, the cow costume, but you were pretending it was a donkey?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's close enough.
My favorite was Miss Schleiden, second grade. She drove an orange VW, like, station wagon.
Yeah.
And Miss Schleiden was the absolute bomb.
Very nice.
I love her. I hope she's listening right now.
Okay, Miss Schleiden. Sister Mary Ernest. And who else, Mike?
Miss Catterson.
Miss Catterson.
Oh, Catterson.
Very nice.
Miss
okay.
Catterson.
All right. Hashtag expose Christian schools with the New York Times.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Very nice. Take a break. Speaking of Christian schools, we did not plan this. Coming up in just a few minutes, Paul McNulty will join us. He's the president of Grove City College. Spent many years in Washington, D.C. He's going to talk about the government shutdown, and now it's revival.
101.5 WORD.
With more fun for your family.
Always fun.
It's Word FM Family Skate Night at Neville Roller Drome.
It's really fun.
We're taking over the roller rink and bringing Pittsburgh's favorite Christian music along for you to skate to.
My whole family loves it.
My kids love it.
Isn't it great?
We'll have great prize giveaways, too. Bring your roller skates if you've got them, or rent a pair there. It's fun for your church group, youth organization, or your whole family.
The kids love it, and so do we.
Word FM Skate Night at Neville Roller Drome.
home, Neville Island, February 4th from 6:30 till 9.
Let's go have fun.
Get details and directions at wordfm.com/skate.
Message and data rates may apply. Texting and rolls for recurring text messages.
Hey, Dan, when we started Z Quiet 10 years ago, did you ever believe we would help so many couples kick snoring out of bed?
The response has been fantastic, like this story from Mark and Lynette.
It had gotten to the point where my wife and I weren't able to sleep in the same bedroom consistently.
I had to keep pushing or kicking, waking him up. And after he would wake up, you know, maybe there were 10 minutes or 15 minutes before he would start snoring again. And I would hope I would fall asleep during that time. But if I didn't, it just made for a long night.
One time I remember my wife brought in a recording.
I said, listen to this. And he was like, what is that? Is it some animal? No, it's you. You're snoring.
And now with Z Quiet, that's no longer a problem at all.
I finally can sleep through the night.
Z Quiet works for both men and women. Text SLEEP to 246810 or go to GetZQuiet.com. Try it risk-free for 30 days for just $9.95. Text SLEEP to 246810.
Happy anniversary, Springhouse. This weekend, the 43rd anniversary of all the wonder that happens at the Springhouse. You're to talk to us about that. Miss Springhouse herself, Marcia. Marcia, how you doing? Good, good. Happy anniversary to you.
Thank you. Thanks. It's been a really fun day today.
What? Tell us about it.
Okay, so this is our 43rd anniversary, so we have all kinds of fun specials. They'll probably miss out on today unless they hustle on over there, but it's free dessert, homemade desserts all day with every meal.
Nice.
Tomorrow, it's a free soup with every meal, homemade soup, and we'll have four different kinds of homemade soup. On Sundays, our all-you-can-eat 12:43 includes drink, and it's a ham and turkey dinner, so it's a really great deal. And then we have 43-cent loaves of bread. We have 43 cents off of some of our most favorite things, baked ham and Danish butter cheese. We have $3 gallons of white milk for the whole weekend. We have every 43rd gallon of milk is free going out the door, so we're having a lot of 43 fun.
Very nice. 43 years. Marcia, I'm sure your mother and dad could never have imagined 43 years ago what the Springhouse would be today.
I know. It's so true. They had these five little kids. I was 12. Sam was 6. And then the other three were in the middle. And can you even imagine? We were so young. And I'm sure mom and dad had no idea what it would be like. And they're just so excited and thankful now.
Fabulous. Well, all that hard work, all that community, all those relationships, it's really paid off in the end. I mean, you're an institution down in Washington County. So congratulations to you and the Springhouse. Excellent work. Keep it up. A happy 43 and 43 more, won't you please?
Sounds great. Thanks, John.
Our pleasure. Happy anniversary to Springhouse.
I've been married so long, I don't even look when I cross the street anymore.
Oh, please.
Hi, we're Jay and Laura LaFoon, and we're bringing our ultimate date night to your community.
What is an ultimate date night? It's 90 minutes of nonstop laughter, music, and fun. It's a great night for you to reconnect with your spouse. It's a night for all couples to connect through entertainment, all the while learning some biblical truth about marriage.
We've been helping couples celebrate the gift of marriage for over 20 years, and we can't wait to bring our comedic look at marriage to your community.
So get out of that date night rut. You know, that dinner and a movie over and over again. Or maybe you haven't even been on a date in a long time. Join us at the Ultimate Date Night and get ready to laugh.
And get ready to connect.
Grab your spouse by the hand and join us at the Ultimate Date Night.
Word FM presents the Ultimate Date Night with Jay and Laura LaFoon, Friday, February 1st at Christchurch at Grove Farm. Tickets just $48 a pair. Reserve now at wordfm.com/date night.
Hey, thanks for being with us. So we're just talking about Christian schools, and one of our regular guests is Paul McNulty. Paul is the head of Grove City College.
The ninth president, in
fact. Ninth president of Grove City College. Prior to Grove City College, Paul spent 30 years in Washington, D.C. as an attorney and in public service and private practice. In 2005, the United States Senate unanimously confirmed Paul McNulty to the position of Deputy Attorney General, the second in command at the United States Department of Justice and the chief operating officer of the department's 100,000 employees. Paul, our good friend, welcome back to the show. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you, John. It's always good to be with you and Kathy.
Always good to hear from you, Paul. So the news is that President Trump and congressional Democrats have actually agreed just this afternoon to support a short-term spending bill to reopen the government, which ends the shutdown that I think we're in the 35th day of. You know Washington from the inside. How do you see this, Paul?
Well, I don't think they've accomplished much, except, of course, it's great for those who have not been able to work and get paid,
right,
and for the systems that have been really challenged, such as our airports, as a result of all this. So from that perspective, any effort to get back, get the government back running is great. But, I mean, this is a three-week truce, and the underlying issues still sit there, so we'll see how that plays out.
Right. So, Paul, there you are at Grove City College, and, of course, there's a lot of great, engaged young minds there. As this wears on day after day, what do you think? I mean, what are young Americans learning from the shutdown? I mean, is there anything that's positive being taught, or is this just the mess, the morass of government?
Yeah, you know, that's really what's on my mind right now. I'm so glad I'm not down there in all that. Mm-hmm. But as I sit here at Grove City College and surrounded by these 2,300 young people who are looking at all this, you have to wonder what they're thinking. I think they're turned off. I think that they could easily be tuning out, so disillusioned by what they're hearing and seeing in government. And I worry that it's encouraging a distaste for public service. And the idea that, well, this is the way Washington works, the way public life works, and I want nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something we have to, you know, push back against, because we really want to encourage an idealism and a sense of service and concern for the community. And this kind of atmosphere doesn't help that at all.
Right.
And it's hard when all of our mainstream media and, you know, every yokel on Twitter is just trying to point the finger and say it's their fault or it's his fault. And I, you know, some of that is appropriate. You know, in the very first day when on video, you know, the president was sitting there with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, and he said, look, I'll take the fall for the government shutdown. So, you know, polls are showing that people are frustrated and they're blaming the president more. And so he said today, OK, let's end this for, you know, let's take a moratorium on this. But it's become OK. Well, it's all his fault when both sides are intractable. And that's the thing I think that is even more frustrating when you sit down and try to talk to a kid, is trying to solve something where it's not about blame.
Right. You know, Kathy, we talk about serving the common good. And what we're trying to do here at Grove City, and then others are doing the same thing, which is try to build a framework for thinking about public service, about how to look at these issues as citizens. And at a Christian college, we encourage the idea of a redemptive view of things. So how does a Christian look at the work of government and public service? And one key concept is the promotion of the common good. And right there, the word common good, how we, you know, together live in a civil society and promote the interests of everyone. Right now, this standoff is about the two political bases going back and forth. Nancy Pelosi doesn't want to back down because her left-wing progressive side so hates the president, they want to stop him and beat him in 2 years. And on the other hand, the president ran on this issue, and so his political base is saying that, gee, if you blink, we're going to, you know, not support you going forward. That's what we're dealing with, really, is this sort of not the common good, but rather the political interests of you know, competing politicians and a segment of our larger society.
Right. But, Paul, that's generally, is it true that that's how it's been, the business as usual, that, you know, the lobbyists are people that have great influence in Washington, D.C., and they're doing, you know, the politicians are doing the will of the lobbyists, less so the will of the people? Or is that just me being cynical?
Well, I think it has gotten worse. And you and I, three of us, have talked about this in the past, which is that a lot has changed over the years. And it used to be that the arguments that had the best success were the ones that could appeal to larger interests and draw in more people. And we're seeing more and more of a breakdown of that. we're seeing our media become owned by certain interests or promoting just limited interests rather than thinking about how you speak to the larger collection of interests. So, yes, I do think that there's an ongoing problem. I think it's been getting worse. And what we have to try to build is a sense of calling into the public square and encourage young people to see that there's a possibility to be people of integrity, truthfulness, thoughtfulness, and high character, and be able to make a difference if in the middle of all of this.
Okay, so that's what you did, right? At least that's what you attempted to do while you worked in Washington for over 30 years. How tough is it?
Well, it's real tough. And the problem is people like, people who have real commitments to this tend to gravitate towards places, areas where they can serve and perhaps be a little removed from it. So I was at the Department of Justice for much of my time. There, the mission is spelled out fairly well, and resist politics and bad influences, and do things that are protecting the country. And so it was good to be in a place where I could bring my values there and not be up against it. On the other hand, when you work on the Hill and you're working for the leadership, as I also did, I worked for the majority leader for a time, I saw this politics being played out in a different way. And boy, it's just a daily thing, Kathy, where you have to know who you are, know how you're going to speak, and conduct yourself consistently. And I think you can make an impact if you're really determined to be that way.
Right. So you're saying it's possible to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I've actually been talking recently in the 20-year anniversary of the impeachment of Bill Clinton, where I was the chief counsel. After all of that political animosity and confrontation of that time, I formed relationships with Bill Clinton's defenders that actually carried over into years later, where we were colleagues and had respect for one another. So I saw that we could deal with really difficult circumstances and get through it.
Yes.
But, that's not typical in D.C., that's for sure.
For sure. We're talking with Paul McNulty. He's the president of Grove City College. So, Paul, the new Congress got underway January 3rd of this year, the 116th Congress. It includes probably the most diverse group of Congress people ever in the history of this country. Probably the top of the heap of that diversity is a young woman, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who by any measure has what some people would say are dangerous ideas. Many people will look at those as revolutionary ideas.
Or just uninformed ideas.
Yeah, that's true as well. Right? Socialism is being kicked around in Washington, D.C., seriously, for the first time in a long time. That's also affected, I'm sure, the conversation among a lot of young people. And I'm sure people at Grove City College would be excited and interested in that youth and those new ideas as well.
That's right. I think that this atmosphere has encouraged folks to look for new faces who appear to be wanting to change the conversation or do things differently. And that can be an exciting thing in certain circumstances, but it also can raise new risks because it can overlook or buy into ideas and theories that are just not sound. In fact, can be actually dangerous. So we've seen, for example, a 20th century filled with the consequences of socialism that have cost millions of lives, and we, would dare not run down that path without understanding the lessons of history and make sure that we know what we're talking about. But again, there's an appeal when you see someone who seems to be operating outside of the tit-for-tat kind of world that we're getting so used to. So even Bernie Sanders' appeal, he's very different than Alexandria. But, that was part of his success, was getting people to think that he brought a whole different perspective and cut through things in a way that was refreshing or useful.
Right. So you think that the I'm talking differently is what's appealing to kids. I got the socialism thing, the lure of it is just always mysterious to me, only because it doesn't take a whole, you don't have to do a deep dive into history to see what kind of evidence we're looking. You don't have to do it. You're right. Just look at the headlines of what's going on in Venezuela. I mean, it is hard for me to believe that there are that many people who know that little about history and are ready to sign on to this.
I know it is hard to believe. And yet I think it's interesting in our own language when, you know, I was talking about the common good, we're glad that Christian young people have a concern for the well-being of people. And this idea of social justice has really grown. And at its root is some very noble concerns for, you know, love of neighbor. The problem is it has to be combined with sound thinking. So, for, you know, the idea that we'll have universal health care. Well, what does that look like? What do we know about where that's been tried? And does that really end up being compassionate for people? That's the problem often in higher education. It doesn't follow through with truthful, careful thinking mm-hmm. about these ideas. Just wants to stop at the label and sort of the good intentions. And frankly, good intentions can be very dangerous.
Yes,
no doubt.
For sure. I mean, good intentions without wisdom or without assessing what the end result of your legislation or your proposal is can end up with the exact opposite of your intention you're going for.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Well, Paul, I'm sure, you know, as the president of Grove City College, as contentious and unusual as these days are, there has got to be a 0 days that are dull for you.
I bet that's true.
At Grove City.
No, that's true. Well, it was a little quieter last week when the students weren't back.
Right.
But this week has definitely picked up the pace. And even with the weather we're having up here, we still have lots of energy, and it's fun to see students just bringing all of that wonderful youthfulness to the campus and bringing it back to life.
Very nice. Well, count us as fans, Paul. You know that, full disclosure, both Kath and I have kids at Grove City College. We love it, and we know that our children are in good hands up with you at the head.
Well, thank you very much. It's very kind.
Our great pleasure. Paul McNulty, the president of Grove City College. Information about Grove City, gcc.org.
If you take a look around your hometown, you might notice that there seems to be a mattress store on every corner, each with a different sale every weekend. Where do you start? And how do you know if you're actually getting a good value? Here at the Original Mattress Factory, what you see is what you get. You'll find our hand-built, high-quality mattresses at the same great price every day. Stop by one of our local factories or stores to experience the Original Mattress Factory difference. Great beds, no bull.
The gimmicks, the flashy sales, and the big markups. Mattress stores have made the mattress shopping experience confusing on purpose. Ron Trzynski started the Original Mattress Factory to create a better way. He raised the bar on quality, offered hand-built mattresses for a fraction of the cost, and ditched the high-pressure sales tactics, all to create a better mattress buying experience for you. You could say he was the original disruptor. Stop by an Original Mattress Factory store or visit us at originalmattress.com to see the OMF difference for yourself.
Hi, this is Tunch Ilkin for my friends at Colusi Chevrolet. 2019 is going to be a really big year at Colusi, not only because they've been in business for over 100 years, but because they have some of the most popular and dependable vehicles on the road today. Stop in to check out the all-new 2019 Silverado. This month only, you can save big with 0% financing for up to 72 months on select 2018s. Check out this deal and others like it at Colusi.com. Chevrolet, find new roads.
See today's best faith-based and family-friendly movies all free of charge, January 25th through 27th. Word FM welcomes the Projecting Hope Film Festival to select area theaters, presented by the Speakman Financial Group, featuring the best faith-focused films of 2018, plus exclusive pre-release screenings for 2019, like Run the Race from executive producer Tim Tebow, and the highly anticipated Easter release Breakthrough, made possible by Geneva College. Visit ProjectingHopePGH.com for times and locations. Sponsored by Colusi Chevrolet, Grace Wellness Center, and J&D Waterproofing.
You know, as your kids get older, right, they go from tweens to teens to, you know, young adults. At least for me, you know, you struggle with that time alone, that it becomes fewer and much more precious. So yesterday I was really excited because I got to drive my son up to Grove City College. He's a junior there. And, you know, the road's a little dicey, but, you know, we spend some time in the car together. And I'm talking about, you know, what the semester ahead and what that looks like. And he makes this offhanded comment, you know, yeah, Dad, you know, I know the semester is before us, but I'm always anxious. And he said, I like this, that he had the awareness. I'm always anxious about what's ahead and where my place is in the future. I get that. I mean, I think whether you're 18, 28, 68 and beyond, mm-hmm. you're always anxious about that.
Sure, of course.
Here's the response. I know from having my boy at Grove City College these past 3 years, he is in the right place. And I know this essentially because of the excellence of the people that he is surrounded by. The teachers, the faculty, all the administration, these are solid people. It's a biblical worldview. These are big-brained people who care for my son, and I know it firsthand. So fear about the future? No doubt. The idea that you're on the right track and God's in control, that he's got your back, I've got great confidence in that as well.
Find out more information about Grove City College. Look for them online, gcc.edu.
Increase of cloudiness tonight. It will be cold with a flurry or two toward dawn, a low down to 14. As we head through the day tomorrow, cloudy, cold, a bit of snow or flurries around with little or no accumulation expected, a high of 27. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, some flurries around, maybe a bit of light snow late, a low down to 23. And some of that snow continues into Sunday, accumulating a coating to an inch, high Sunday 32. Now, I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Brian Thompson on 101.5 Word FM.
Last Tuesday marked the 25th anniversary of the UN International Day for the Eradication of Poverty, okay. which is something we can all get behind.
Again.
To mark the occasion, I'm reading here from Think Progress. To mark the occasion, Antonio Guterres, who is the UN Secretary General, was featured in a short video where he assessed the current state of world poverty. Now, despite noting such issues as unemployment, inequality, and conflict continuing all over the place, he correctly observed that since 1990, the world has, quote, made remarkable progress in eradicating poverty.
Excellent. No doubt about that, too.
Mm. It's so, it really is. When you look at the numbers, it's absolutely thrilling. It is. Because the problem of world poverty is so gigantic that you think, well, that's just something that's going to exist that not one person can do anything about.
Right.
But since 1990, one person after another has decided to do something about it.
Well, look, we do our share here with Food for the Poor, Across International.
Yeah.
How many people in our audience are part of this helping to alleviate thousands suffering and poverty?
Thousands and thousands of people, tens and tens of thousands over a year's time have decided to be part of this effort, right?
So thank you for that.
The speed of poverty alleviation in the last 25 years has been historically unprecedented. Not only is the proportion of people in poverty at a record low, but in spite of adding 2 billion people to the planet's population, the overall number of people living in extreme poverty has fallen.
Fabulous.
I mean, isn't that?
Hooray. You know, I have to believe that we as believers, I'm not taking all credit for this, but we're a big part of that.
Yep.
I believe that's true.
Right. Over the last quarter century, more than 1.25 billion people have escaped extreme poverty. That equates to over 138,000 people being lifted out of poverty every day.
Very nice.
Think Progress says, if it takes you 5 minutes to read this article, another 480 people will have escaped the shackles of extreme poverty by the time you finish. Progress is awesome.
Outstanding. You know, again, I'm going to put a plug in because this is what we do often when we talk about Food for the Poor or Cross International. And we've seen this firsthand. When you see women who are given these microloans,
you can't imagine the difference that creates, not in their family system only, but in their person.
Without a doubt. Holy smokes. I mean, you see people, you know, who are not part of those loans. And then you walk into like a small factory where there's, you know, women behind sewing machines, mm-hmm. or there are women who are doing, you know, bookkeeping work and things like that. The sense of pride is just outstanding.
Is.
And of course, their physical appearance, their, you know, their outward shine and the way that they dress, the way that they talk, the way they make eye contact, the way that they engage is 180 from other people outside of the places we'll see.
Have you seen that in person?
Oh, countless times.
I have seen that in person.
I mean, love it so much.
You know, we here at the station really strive to bring you organizations that are trying to give people as we say, a hand up, not a handout.
Yeah.
Only because we've seen the difference it makes in a person.
Yeah.
If a person can be a part of the solution for themselves,
yeah,
they become a different type of person than if they're just taking something from
you
somebody.
You got that right. So, yeah, it's really
anyway,
powerful.
Really,
it's really,
really wonderful news from printed today by Think Progress.
Very nice.
The world's poorest people are getting richer faster.
Hooray. Good news on a Friday
Thank
afternoon.
Thank you, God.
Yep. I'll take a break, come back. Sound biblical advice to Christians from an atheist. That's next. Stick around.
101.5 WORD.
Turning Point with David Jeremiah.
You say, well, I know people who follow the Lord who aren't blessed. This is not the prosperity gospel. Hear me carefully. God is not saying he wants you to be rich. God is saying he wants to bless you so you can be the vehicle of blessing to others.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Powerful Principles from Proverbs, next time on Turning Point.
This evening at 7:30 on 101.5 WORD.
Jen had a very busy day today. Really busy. First, she dropped her kids off at daycare.
Bye, Mom.
Then she had a few minutes before yoga class for a coffee.
Small latte, please.
And then she saved a few lives.
Nurse, two units, O negative.
One, an injured child. Another, a cardiac patient. And then, a premature baby. All because Jen logged on to bloodsciencefoundation.org and made a financial donation.
There, done.
You see, local blood donors provide only about half of what is needed to treat patients. The other half has to be purchased and relies on financial donations from people like you. And Jen.
Ooh, cake pops.
So, what have you done today? To make a financial donation that saves lives, visit bloodsciencefoundation.org. Blood Science Foundation. Giving from the heart.
The average person considers estate planning just for the wealthy.
Attorney Michelle Conte, host of Conte's Law on estate planning for the everyday person.
There's a lot that goes into it. People take more time picking out what car they're going to buy, where they're going to go to dinner, as opposed to what happens to my children. The state will dictate who gets what if you don't indicate who is to receive your stuff upon your passing. We want to make sure we plan appropriately so that they get the best of both worlds. They continue to receive the benefit and they get the inheritance. The other thing you have to think about is tax planning. We try to be proactive in the approach that we minimize any type of tax consequence when somebody dies, depending on the value of the estate. These taxes range anywhere from 4.5% to 40%. So we try to make sure that the beneficiary will receive as much as they legally are able to.
Hear more on Conte's Law, Saturday morning at 9 on WORD. For immediate help, visit ContelawPGH.com.
How many sales are you missing because you're not effectively using social media marketing? The vast majority of the population is on social media, shopping. We're Salem Surround. We take the mystery of digital marketing off your shoulders, letting you run your business while we deliver customers. There are no limitations on where you can reach customers with Salem Surround. Total market penetration for increased ROI. Learn more by logging on to SurroundPittsburgh.com. SurroundPittsburgh.com. Connecting you with new customers.
Discover Eden Christian Academy and discover an exceptional education in which solid academics and authentic faith prepare students to step confidently into the future. Christ-centered, student-focused, and mission-true since 1983. Visit EdenChristianAcademy.org.
We were talking a little earlier in the show about Dan Levin, who's a writer for the New York Times. And he went on Twitter this week and he
just yesterday, in fact.
And he said, if you attended, if you're in your 20s, and you went to a Christian school, I'd like to hear from you about your experience and its impact on your life. So hashtag expose Christian schools.
Now, Dan Levin said later that the hashtag expose Christian schools was not something he created. It was something that he already saw out there, and he just decided to kind of get on the bandwagon. So he's not looking, he says, to do a hit job. He's just, which you think he would maybe call it something different then. But he says he's not looking to do a hit job, and we have to give him the benefit of the doubt because he might do, you know, a great piece that's fair and you know, I was going to say fair and balanced, but then
no,
that sounded like
good.
I was trying to recommend a TV station. But you know what I mean. You know, he's trying to present something that held both sides in great. But
What?
Honor, respect.
Maybe so. But, you know, look.
You don't believe it.
I don't, because look at this past week. I mean, you know, the vice president's wife, Karen Pence, took a massive hit because she went, you know, back to teach at a Christian school. There was great controversy there. Of course, the Covington High School kids and the March for Life last week. That's another, you know, Christian school that's under attack. So generally.
And that's why it's trending, expose Christian schools after the Covington thing. We're going to try to find as many people who had as many horror experiences so we can highlight it and then just, you know. Rake everybody over the coals.
I guess. Scott Sauls is with us. Scott is the senior pastor of Christ Presbyterian Church in Nashville, Tennessee. He's got a brand new book that was released just this Tuesday called Irresistible Faith, Becoming the Kind of Christian the World Can't Resist. Scott, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, we're happy to have you, Scott. So, you know, hashtag expose Christian schools obviously seems like it's going to be a slam piece. Dan Levin says, no, it's not going to be a slam piece. I'm just, you know, interested in hearing from people. So, as I said, we want to give him the benefit of the doubt. But why does the word Christian make people nuts?
Well, I guess there are various reasons. I mean, one is that Jesus said the name Christian would make people nuts. Mm-hmm. He said, in this world you'll have trouble. Don't be surprised when you receive all kinds of opposition and when you're persecuted, rejoice, because so were the prophets before you. Great is your reward in heaven, and so on. I think really the important question to ask as a follower of Christ is that are the people who are troubled about my version or our version of Christianity the same kinds of people who were troubled about what Jesus brought and what the apostles brought? And are the people who were drawn to Jesus and to the ministry of the apostles also drawn to us and our ministries? So I think that's really, for me at least, introspectively, that's going to be the important measure of our ministry and how truly effective we're being, because in many instances we have churches and ways of sort of expressing our beliefs that actually attract people who were repulsed by Jesus and that repel people who were attracted to Jesus. I think we've got to be really careful in the asking of those questions to make sure that we're being opposed by the right people.
That's good.
And that we're being winsome and attractive to the right people. And it typically is people who are in power and threatened by the influence of Christianity in society, because Christianity is so full of love and good neighbors and life-giving presence in the places where they live, work, and play. At least that's the way it worked in the New Testament time, that Caesar's Rome started to take notice and feel threatened because of this movement that was becoming more attractive and appealing than the government was.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you've got, of course, the church insiders who are self-righteous and smug, who didn't like anything that Jesus brought. So we got to be careful on that.
Very careful. So you use the word winsome, Scott, which is, it's a great word. Yeah. It's a great way to live your life. If you were winsome in Christ, holy smokes. But unfortunately, you know, the landscape we're living in right now, we often are ourselves, followers of Jesus, Christians, we are lacking that winsome attitude. We are often our own worst enemy, whether, you know, privately, one-on-one with each other, or in the public square. So how do we combat that? If we say that we're loving Jesus and want to be irresistible in our faith,
but nobody wants to be with us.
Right.
It's clearly not working.
Yeah. Well, I don't necessarily believe that nobody wants to be part of what Christ is doing in the world. I mean, I'm actually more of an optimist than I am a pessimist about what the church is doing in the world. I think that, truth be told, the versions of Christianity that get the most press are actually the ones that are least pervasive. I mean, you get kind of the angry, holier than thou. That's what gets depicted in film and media and news channels and things like that. And meanwhile, you've got all this wonderful stuff, you know, Christians everywhere in virtually every community being very proactive about caring for in need and serving the poor, making a hospitable place for lonely people in their churches so that they're not lonely anymore. I mean, it's happening all over the world. And so I think what we need to ask is, what does it mean to let our light shine before men? I mean, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, be very open and public about the love that you bring to the world. Don't hide it under the under a bushel. And, you know, we're seeing, you know, honest reporters like Nicholas Kristof of the New York Times, who's an agnostic and yet who's taking notice of what Christians are doing around the world among the poor. And he's, you know, speaking very positively about what Christians are doing that the rest of the world is not, on behalf of devastated people. And so I think we just need more of that, more Kevin Pillau stories with Portland and more stories like what, you know, Dan Cathy has done with the gay community as a Christian businessman, you know, just, you know, and even there's even a private Jerry Falwell story that's pretty compelling that might surprise people.
Really?
In terms of his friendship with pornographer Larry Flint.
Huh, really?
Yeah, just Google the Larry Flint eulogy of Jerry Falwell, you know, it's pretty interesting. You know, Falwell gets criticized for, you know, his unfortunate comments about 9/11 and things of that sort, but there was also a private aspect to Falwell of you know, being a very, you know, loving college president, and, you know, I've never met a Liberty University graduate, even people who got kicked out of Liberty for behaving poorly, who didn't feel fiercely loved by Falwell himself, and Falwell privately befriended, you know, Larry Flint, and the two of them, you know, tried to win each other over to their side, and neither succeeded, but there was a friendship there that I think is actually a good model, you know, for how Christians ought to engage with people who don't embrace our beliefs, because we're not just supposed to be the best kinds of friends, we're supposed to be the best kinds of enemies, right?
Yeah, that's fabulous.
Love your enemies.
Excellent.
Right?
Yeah. That's cool. Hey, Scott Sauls is with us. His brand new book is called Irresistible Faith, Becoming the Kind of Christian the World Can't Resist. So, Scott, before you found yourself in Nashville, you spent time, years in New York City. I mean, walking the streets in New York City, I was there for a decade as well. You know, it takes all kinds, right? There's a big mix of people. What was it like to be in New York City and a believer? Because it's certainly not, you know, you're not in a Christian ghetto. You're forced to be part of the stew and the mix of the vibrancy of the city. How was that for you?
I loved it because Christians were a minority. And when you're a minority, it requires you to be sharp. And when you're a minority, you know that when you go to church, you're going to church for no other reason except that you know that you need Jesus Christ and you need to be alongside people who are heading in the same direction. And so there was a deep authenticity to faith, and, you know, I was you know, preaching pastor at a church called Redeemer Presbyterian. It's a fairly well-known church. You know, Tim Keller, you know, planted it a number of years ago, but that church was filled with men and women who, you know, were minorities by virtue of being Christian. And, you know, people say, oh, well, what are Christians like in New York? They're some of the most committed believers I've ever known. And it's because why else be a Christian in New York, you know, unless you're drawn to Christ? You know, but if you're in the Bible Belt, you might go to church for 15, 20 different other reasons.
Right.
And never even know Christ. And so you don't have to be sharp in certain areas like you do in a place like New York or modern-day China, for instance, where there's vast persecution, like real persecution.
That's good.
Prior to where Scott serves now, he was at New York City's Redeemer Presbyterian Church as a lead and preaching pastor, planted two churches. Now his work is all over, and his latest book is called Irresistible Faith, Becoming the Kind of Christian the World Can't Resist. That's Scott Sauls. Scott, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Hey, we'll take a quick break. Come back. The weekend is just about here. You're making your way home.
I wish I knew five things
ahead.
I could do.
This weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, I got a list for you.
You may have to think hard about this. When was the last time you and your spouse went on a date? How about a date night where you had fun and made memories?
It's been a while, hasn't it? Well, never fear, because the ultimate date night is near. For more than 20 years, marriage edutainers Jay and Laura LaFoon have been helping couples laugh together, sing together, and even dance cheek to cheek together while learning and growing closer together. The ultimate date night is a two-hour marriage experience where Jay and Laura LaFoon help couples reconnect. And whether you've been married 1 week or 75 years, you'll come away feeling closer to your spouse. In fact, 98% of people who attended the ultimate date night felt it added value to their marriage.
We think the other 2% were in the bathroom when we took the survey.
Don't miss your ultimate date night coming soon.
Word FM presents the ultimate date night with Jay and Laura LaFoon, Friday, February 1st at Christ Church at Grove Farm. Tickets just $48 a pair. Special VIP package including dinner also available. Reserve now at wordfm.com/date night.
Get your truly free credit scores and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma today. Download the Credit Karma app now. Credit Karma. Here's to progress.
I was blessed to have my dad in my life until I was 8 years old. His passing probably should have devastated my future. Once he was gone, life became really hard. Over the years, I heard so many negative messages. You know, like, you can't. You're not good enough. You won't succeed. I didn't understand it, but somehow, they were all drowned out by one voice, my father's. In our short time together, he was constantly reaffirming me and reminding me that I was important to him and to God. He pictured a special future for me, helping me look beyond my circumstances and to dream of what I could be. Now I understand why his words had the greatest impact. He was giving me his blessing.
The blessing. It's biblical, it's permanent, and it's one of the most powerful things you can do for your child. Find out more about the blessing at focusonthefamily.com/blessing.
Okay, I'd say the weekend's begun.
Oh, well, listen, I told you at the beginning of 4 and 5 o'clock hour, the weekend's begun.
Very nice. You making your ride home. Yeah. So what are you doing this weekend? You got anything, hot plans out in the city?
Well, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm out there running around. My plans normally are. So tonight I'm making quesadillas.
Okay.
So that's pretty big.
Let the weekend begin. I salute you, quesadillas.
Thank you. Tomorrow morning I'll be in the Strip.
Mm-hmm. Oh, are you really? It's cold. You're going to go out in the Strip and walk around?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to walk around. I want to just go in and get what I'm going to get. But You know what Saturday morning's like in the Strip.
That's
it's a little nutty.
Well, it sure is.
It's
a commitment.
Yeah. And, that's how exciting my weekend is shaping up to be.
Quesadillas and some shopping in the Strip.
I mean.
Okay. Church on Sunday.
Don't you wish you were me? I'll be at church on Sunday.
Oh, please. Yeah. Well, I would like you to take some photos and tweet out your experiences this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I bet people are right on the edge of their seats.
This weekend for myself, I'm not doing a whole heck of a lot. Although my kid, my 18-year-old boy has caught auction fever.
No.
So he wants to go out and go to some auctions
And
some estate sales because he's like big on the eBay resale thing.
All
anyway,
right.
There are five things that are happening in Pittsburgh. So says
only
the,
five.
Five things this weekend. Five highlight things.
Okay.
PNC Park this weekend. Pirate Fest is underway.
Right. Joe Klimchuk will be there as your host.
Uh-huh. Pirate Fest. It's free.
There'll be a lot of classic pirates there, as he told us on our show on Tuesday.
From noon to 5 p.m., free admission, autograph sessions in the Jim Beam Left Field Lounge. Okay, look forward to that.
Have we been in the Jim Beam Left Field Lounge? I don't think we've been there. I feel like we've been in every place in PNC Park.
Wasn't that like the Budweiser Lounge or something, you know, out there?
Isn't that where you take your dogs? Isn't that where if on pup night, don't you take your dogs back there?
I don't know.
Probably not into the Jim Beam Lounge.
Classic Mike would know that. He used to do that all the time.
Yeah, okay. We should try to figure out where that is.
How about the Kavanaugh Bride Show tomorrow from noon to 4 at the Wyndham Grand Pittsburgh downtown.
Okay.
All the expectant brides. The expectant brides. See, if you're an expectant bride, you're feeling a little panic. Hey, I'm looking for a maternity dress, and I'm going to get married soon.
Expectant.
You know what I meant.
Bride.
The brides who are looking forward to being married.
All right, we're moving on.
Okay. How about, I dig these guys. Do you know Cello Fury?
Yes.
They're in town this weekend.
Are they?
In Carnegie. Yeah, at the Andrew Carnegie Library Music Hall.
Oh, that's
tickets
great.
Tickets are cheap, like 15
bucks.
You mean
not at Homestead?
No. Andrew Carnegie Free Library Music Hall in Carnegie.
In Carnegie.
Yeah. There's a different – I've never been there.
I've never been there either.
Because when I saw this, I thought, oh, I'll go into Homestead and check that out. Yeah. Tickets are like $15 for, like, you know, adults, $5 for students.
They are awesome.
Oh, they are really awesome. That's cool. Speaking of cool, Market Square will be home to the Dollar Energy Fund's Cool Down for Warmth event from 7 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock, the dead of winter down in Market Square.
Okay.
Brr, that's cold.
What are we doing there?
You're getting information on how to reduce your energy bills. And it can also...
You know how I could reduce my energy bill?
Hmm.
Not have my living room above the garage.
Oh, that's rough.
I'm telling you, that room where
it's
our
cold.
TV, it is, well, how can it not be cold? It's above the garage.
Isn't there insulation underneath on the roof?
I have
of
two
the garage?
Words for you. Not enough.
Oh.
It's old. It's an old house. The insulation's not very good.
It's a Pittsburgh house.
And it is just freezing
is
back
it?
In there. Yeah, the rest of the house is fine, but man, that room is cold.
Do you have a door that you close off? Do you close the door like for the rest of the room?
No, that would be a good idea. But there's no door because it mm-hmm. opens right into my kitchen.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It just kind of, you know, all the cold air bleeds out.
Well,
but we have a lot of blankets. We're fine.
Okay. Well, maybe you want to head on down to Market Square tomorrow. And,
if I was going down to Market Square, I would be going to what's the Italian place? I just ate there 2 weeks, maybe a week ago. It's the Italian place,
oven.
Il Pizzaiolo.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Italian oven?
Oh, my gosh. The fact that you're mentioning those two together is very funny.
Probably Italian
the pizza,
oven.
Probably the people at Il Pizzaiolo are not happy about
no,
that.
No, it's fine.
I had a very nice lunch there.
Really?
Uh-huh.
It's a little high-end, isn't it?
It is a little high-end. It's not cheap. But, boy, the food is delicious.
You had lunch by yourself down
no,
there?
No, with my daughters.
Oh, did you, though?
Yeah, we
very
spent
nice.
A little afternoon downtown. It was fun.
Nice. When you go to an Italian restaurant, do you generally, you know, you gravitate towards what?
I always gravitate towards a salad. Always.
What?
Because Italians are good at salad.
Yeah.
They're good at salad. They get it. They get the fresh taste. They get a good vinegar. They have a good olive oil. They have a good Parmesan. That's really all you need for a good salad. Add your greens. That's a great salad right there.
How about some hot cauliflower and a peppuccine?
I can't do that hot stuff.
Oh, I love that.
I know you do. I want you to have all mine. I want you to be happy.
Fine. And some olives. A lot of olives.
You know what else I'm happy to have?
Hmm.
A good wood-fired pizza.
Now, what's the deal with the wood-fired
Listen,
pizza
I like
thing?
That. I well, like a little
like
bit
so
of that
trendy.
Char on there.
Wood-fired
I
pizza.
I like it. I like his little black on the bottom.
Really?
I like that it's, like, uneven.
Wood-fired. I mean,
I like
I'm not
it.
So sure
that's
about
what,
that.
That's what I had at El Pizzillo.
They
delicious.
Have a wood-fired pizza
uh-huh.
thing. All right.
And I also had a fillet of salmon on top of a salad.
Really?
Had capers.
All right.
It was the bomb.
Well, okay. The bomb and all that.
Maybe I'll meet you down there on Saturday.
Maybe so. Hey, have a great weekend. Do something fun. Stay warm as well. See you Monday. God willing.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, a production of Word FM and Salem Communications.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.